The Lord be with you, and with your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, yes, exactly the right gospel passage for this second Sunday of Easter. And of course, we celebrate this Sunday as Divine Mercy Sunday. This is exactly the passage we need. So I'm gonna try to preach it. I want to mix it up a little bit, but and I figure, you know, the place to mix it up would be in a Walmart parking lot. That's why I came here today. So I want to take a different kind of stab at this, but we'll see what happens. So say a prayer for me, if you would, that the Lord allows me to communicate what he's put on my heart. And also, of course, that that I don't take all day doing it. That'd be quite helpful. There are so many things is the problem. There are so many things that are worthy of comment here in the gospel passage. So the first thing that I'm going to do is recommend it to you as an opportunity to go deeper in faith this week. And so take this passage, pray with it, read it, see where you fit in the scene. I mean, here, what do we have in the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus? But I don't know, crying, right? Sobbing, disbelief, doubt, locked doors, despair. If that's not the story of our year-long attempt to counteract this pandemic, then I don't know what is, right? We've got crying, we've got doubt, and we've got locked doors. Yeah, so we're likely to find ourselves somewhere in this passage if we take it to heart, if we allow our Lord to speak into our hearts in this passage. Okay, let me try. What's going on? What's going on? Jesus, the risen Jesus, is the first part of God's new creation. God intends to create the world anew. Yes, in Jesus, but then also in and through his faithful followers. That's why we see such an emphasis here at the end of Jesus is being the Messiah, because he is at the head of his people, and his people, as the new Israel, is the people through whom God is going to bring his blessing to life in the world, is the people through whom God is going to renew the face of the earth in the power of his Spirit. So this is the big project, as it were. This is the picture frame that we have to put on. And really, not only this gospel, but every gospel passage we read, but it's striking how significant it is in this particular gospel passage. God is affecting the renewal of the entire world. He is creating ex vetere, as we say, creatio ex vetere. He's doing creation out of the old. It's not the way we think God should work. Am I right about that? How do we think God should work? We always think, well, look, here's the problem. Why are you not doing anything about it, God? Like, here, we're surrounded by, we're plagued by issues. We're plagued by a plague, for Pete's sake. Where are you, God? Where are you? What are you doing? Why have you not solved this problem already? Right? This is where, I don't know, all too often, I'd say, if it happens once, it's all too often, but it's all too often that our hearts rest in that place. We say, what is going on here, God? Why are you not doing anything about it? And of course, we know as God's new people, God's people made anew, we're made to be his children by an act of new creation, God's creation out of the old. He's made us to be his children. We realize also that we're meant to be part of the solution, are we not? It's not as though we as Christians sit back and call out to God in the sky, what are you doing about this? That would be the behavior of pagans, right? Sitting back, if there's a God, then what, he would not allow this to happen, right? It's a driver of atheism, and we've been complicit in it for far too long. God is active in our world. He's renewing us. Look, we're in a place of mourning and grief. I don't have to tell you that. We're in a place of mourning and grief. God mourns with us. He grieves with us. And what is his answer? His answer is the death and resurrection of Jesus. His answer is not that we walk out into the streets and tell everybody that the coronavirus pandemic is a result of their sinfulness. If it's anyone's sinfulness, it's our sinfulness. Right? How could we put that on someone else if we're not willing to put it on ourselves? But that's not God's answer. It's not the answer he wants to give. The answer is the death and resurrection of Jesus. The answer is that God has gone to the low point already. God has gone to the point where relationships are broken, where beauty is marred. He's gone to the place of total injustice. He's gone to the place of total lack of truth, right? A power plays. Power used to advance other people's agenda over and against the agenda of God. He's gone to that place already, and he has died under the weight of that burden so as to free us from it and bring about his kingdom that looks forward to the time of Jesus' return and the firm and final establishment of his kingdom. It is a kingdom of peace and of justice, true prosperity for all peoples, healed relationships, beauty, flourishing beauty. Right, God wants to bring this new creation out of the old. Now, you will have heard a word that I slipped in there. I let it go. I slipped it in there. What did I say? I said healed relationships. Remember, because this is because God's creation, God's new creation, is a creation out of the old. That means that he wants to have us live in healed relationship. Healed relationship with him and healed relationship with each other. And I say healed relationship because it's not as though he's creating those relationships ex nihilo. He's not creating them out of nothing. In the same way, he wants us to live in a healed, restored beauty. He wants us to live in a healed, restored justice. He wants his justice to flourish on the earth, and his justice is a restorative justice. And he wants us to be a missioned people to help bring that about. Now, this is, I would say, the challenge for us. Let's see how this happens also in some practical detail. Now, okay, fine. I'm going to make the point again. All these good things, all these things that our hearts sing for, God wants to make happen. But he wants to make happen out of the material that he has given us now. He wants it to come out of his good creation now. We don't get to throw it off and say, you know what, injustice, I don't care. I don't care about injustice. As long as I'm not the one being oppressed, I don't care about it. As long as I still have freedom to worship, whatever that is, when we don't care about injustice, well, that's what I want. I want my rights. I don't care about the rights of anyone. We don't get to do that. We don't get to look at God's creation marred in ugliness of all sorts and get to say, you know what, I don't care. I don't care about beauty. I'm living a good enough life. My life is fine. I'm blessed. How are you blessed when God's creation is cursed? How can it be? It can't. We're at the point of travail here. And God is making us to be the answer. Now look, it's all in Jesus, okay? I'm not preaching out of nothing here. I'm not preaching ex nihilo here. I'm preaching out of Jesus. He comes and he appears before his disciples. What does he do? With his wounds. Does God have wounds for all eternity? You're darn right he does. That's his glory. What he suffered to redeem us, that's his glory. The struggle that he went through in order to redeem us, to save us, to rescue us, and to rescue his good creation, he's more than happy to bear those wounds for all eternity. How different is that than your thought of God? How could God live with imperfection the rest of time? My friends, that's how much he cares about us. That's how much he cares about you. That's how much he cares about his faithful followers. That's how much he cares about his good creation. He wants to restore it. And Jesus comes to do it. Now, this is it. In this great picture frame of the new creation, what do we have? We have Jesus appearing before the men who betrayed him and denied him and forgiving them. That's the heart of new creation. So here, look, we want to be part of God's restorative justice. We want his justice to flow through to every corner of his creation. We want beauty again to flourish in our day. And we're going to bring forward in time, by the strength of God's Spirit that is breathed into us by Jesus, we're going to bring beauty and justice. We're going to bring fulfillment of relationship. We're going to bring it all, right? We're going to bring God's restored creation to bear. But how does it happen? It happens first by our being forgiven, and then out of that place of forgiveness, finding the strength to live on God's love and bring his kingdom to life in the world, to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That's our task. But it comes, my friends, out of the place of forgiveness. It comes by our receiving the divine mercy. How can that be? How can it be? Because it cannot be any other way. Because if we go out trying to build God's kingdom on our own steam, we will fail. Because we're just too selfish. And it'll be all about us. And in the end, we will think we've deserved it. And if we've deserved it, then everybody else has to deserve it as well in order to enter into and enjoy it. It's not the way, my friends. It's not the way. We do not earn it. We cannot earn it. God's love always comes to us as mercy. God's love never comes to us as a deserved gift. It always comes to us as an act of mercy on his part. We never deserve it. We can never deserve it. But how beautiful it is to realize in our poverty that we cannot deserve it, to know that he gives it to us freely, undeserving though we are. And because we receive it, undeserving though we are, we do not put up obstacles to prevent other people from receiving it and enjoying it. We are to extend God's kingdom of love to everyone we encounter and to all of God's creation. And we extend it to the undeserving because we ourselves are undeserving. It's to do with God. It's not to do with us. And out of that place of humility, out of that place of being forgiven, now we can extend his forgiveness to the world. And that's the task. Listen to what Jesus says. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. You're being sent. You're being sent by Jesus to bring about his new creation. And in order to do it, he breathes his Spirit into you that you may. That's where we are in this great gospel passage. We're at the launching of God's new creation. It's a task that's beyond us in every imaginable way. Except the Spirit of God is breathed into us in order that we might do it. And let me stress that again. Because we're here, Divine Mercy Sunday. And God's love comes to us as mercy. Think about the apostles seeing Jesus that Sunday. Here he is, back from the dead. And I've betrayed him. His wounds are not simply the wounds that other people inflicted on him. his wounds he suffered for my sake, and I inflicted those wounds on him. And when he's risen from the dead and he's come through that locked door, I might well be afraid, because by the old creation, by the marred creation, I'm expecting an act of retribution. But instead, God's new creation is launched by an act of forgiveness and by mercy. So I don't know, relief, yeah, joy, we see it all. Excitement beyond belief, yeah, all of it. But that's ours too, my friends, because we do not deserve what comes to us from God. But being forgiven by him, we are freed to get about his work and to extend his mercy to everyone we encounter, bring his love to life, bring about his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven.